This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
From some children, if that's all right. So Ebony and Joseph, can I get your help too? And Melody, Phoebe, can you come and help me? We've actually... Oh, Annalise and Cara Jane, you better help as well. And you guys better get out of that row or move to this. Yeah. All right, we'll be back soon. Hang on. Come on. Let's wait. We've got to get something. It's pretty big. It's pretty important. All right, come in here. All right, so we're going to grab, each grab a butt. All right, yeah, we get, grab hold of a little bit, Cara Jane. I think we better go this, no, I'm not. Grab hold. All right. Watch out, watch out. Yeah, watch that top bit. Don't let it fall. No, I won't. It's all right, Joseph. Okay, keep going. Wow, look at this. All right. Right to the middle at the front. Is it heavy?
Kind of.
It's good you're all working together. All right. And your end down, Joseph. And we're going to lean it up against the pulpit. All right, you guys can sit in the front row. Let's see if that stays. Whew. Thank you. Great. The cross. I'm glad we sung that last song that said, "Worthy is the Lamb." Who's the Lamb talking about? Who knows? Annalise? Oh, no. Do you know who, when it says, "Worthy is the Lamb," Ebony? Jesus is the Lamb. So whenever we hear about the Lamb in the book of Revelation, it's talking about Jesus. I'm actually going to turn to the book of Revelation. Is that at the start or the end of the Bible? It's at the end, isn't it? So, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Revelation 13. The book of Revelation talks about stuff that's going to happen and some stuff that's some really great stuff about... It's right at the end of the book, and it's right at the end of time, and then we get to go and spend all of eternity with God. So, this is what it says in Revelation 13, verse 8. It's talking about a group of people that it's not going to go so well to them, because there's going to be someone that other people will worship, and they're not going to worship God. And do you know, if you believe in Jesus and if you believe in what Jesus did for you on the cross, do you know he has your name written down in a book called the Book of Life? Do you reckon your name's in it if you believe in Jesus? Yeah. But there's unfortunately going to be some people that whose names aren't going to be written in that book. And that's quite sad. We're not going to focus on that today, but we need to talk about that just to get us through this next verse. It says this. All who dwell on earth will worship him. That's not talking about worshipping God, but talking about not worshipping God, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb. So there's a book of life of the Lamb, of Jesus. And it says that the Lamb was slain or killed. Where was Jesus killed? Ebony? On the cross. But then listen to what it says next, because this is interesting. It says, from the foundation of the world. So that means even before you were made, even before the earth was made, that God knew that Jesus was going to die on the cross. Isn't that amazing? Even before he said, let there be light, let there be the earth, let there be animals, let there be the ocean. Even before then, God knew of this. Because it says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, he knew it was going to happen. Do you know, God was not surprised when he looked down on earth and saw his son Jesus dying on the cross. He didn't say, oh my goodness, I didn't see this coming. Oh, what do we do now? Well, let's try and make this work for us. He knew from before the world began that the cross was going to happen. That means, because in my Bible, this is where Jesus died on the cross, about here. Yeah? So this is all the New Testament. And all this is before Jesus died with the Old Testament. Stories of David and Goliath and stories of all the prophets and Noah's Ark and all this stuff in the Old Testament. But all throughout here, in God's mind, he knew the cross was going to happen. And guess what? He's actually left us little clues that we can look back on and say, oh, that's like what happened to Jesus on the cross. All in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before Jesus died on this cross, God gave us some idea of what was going to happen. And we can look back in the Old Testament and we can see that that's the case. We call them like a shadow, like a shadow. If you see a shadow of me, can you see the shadow of me? Can you see that? What does a shadow look like? Phoebe? It's a bit black, isn't it? So you can't see. Can you see? I'm not really wearing much colourful things at the moment. Can you see the colour of my skin in my shadow? Can you see the colour of my shirt? Ha ha ha, it's a bit grey. That's right. So a shadow, is the shadow me? The shadow's not me, is it? Is a shadow like me? It's like me, isn't it? So it looks like the same shape. You can get an idea of maybe what I'm like, I guess. But that shadow's not me. Am I different to my shadow? Am I better than my shadow? I'm heaps better than my shadow. Come on, my goodness. Yeah, that's right. So my shadow is this, it's like this flat thing, isn't it? It's only got like, it's like a flat shape. Whereas I'm not this flat shape. And I've got stuff inside me that you can't see in my shadow. And so a shadow is like something, and it tells a bit about it, but it's not as good as the actual thing. All right? So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a couple things in the Old Testament that are shadows of this. The cross isn't really mentioned, but it's a bit like it's a shadow of the cross. And then when the cross actually happened and all the amazing things that, you know, happened on that cross, we can look back and think, oh, that was like a shadow of it. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. Ebony, I need your help for this. Ebony is Abel. I'll be Cain. Don't worry, it's not that part of the story. It's the bit before that. So you are my brother, believe it or not. And we have to give an offering to God, okay? So I actually look after fruit trees and stuff. So been working hard to get these fruit trees growing. And this is my best work. Oh, look at all this nice big fruit. I'm going to offer this before God. But you don't have fruit trees. You have lambs. You're like a little shepherd. So you're going to offer a lamb to God. Now, just remember, when we think of a lamb, what do we think of? We think of Jesus. Jesus was a lamb that was offered. Why don't you get your little lamb? And we're going to put it on our altar. Put it there. Yep, and I'll put all the work of my hands, my fruit. Guess whose offering God looked down and liked? The lamb. Didn't like all the fruit of my hands and all my work that I did, but loved Abel's lamb. That lamb that was killed, unfortunately, had to kill it. It had to die, because the lamb had to die to be an offering. Yeah. But God looked down and he said, that is the sacrifice that I am pleased with. Thank you. You may sit down. All right, can you see that's a bit like a shadow of the cross and what happened? About the lamb that was killed, that was very pleasing to God. Isn't that amazing? That was way back in the Bible. Let's skip forward a few chapters to Genesis 6. Annalise, I'll need your help for this one. All right, you are Noah, and you've got your ark. You've been building away. Go on. Well, she's been typing an email or something. Grab a hammer and start whacking. Yeah, that's it. Whoa, hey. That ark is now built. Wow. Now, are all the people in the world at this stage, they good or bad? Who knows? They're bad. And God looks down and he's like, this is so sinful. and God can't stand sin, and sin needs to be judged. There needs to be judgment upon sin. But there was a way to be saved from that judgment, and it was in the ark. And they had to go through a door. It said that there was one door in the ark. Isn't that amazing? Plenty of animals to go in. Wouldn't it have made sense, Noah, for you to build so many doors? Big ones for the elephants and small ones for the mice, and a Noah-sized one for Noah just to walk through. But he didn't. How many doors did God make? One. Jesus said, I am the door, and he is the way of salvation. And where do we come to that? We come to the cross, and we see that is a place where sin is judged. The sin of the world was on Jesus. And if we believe in him, that judgment that is, you know, all of us are sinners, that judgment that should come our way, doesn't. We're saved because we've gone through that door. Isn't that amazing? Thanks, Annalise. Noah? All right, we're going to skip forward to Genesis 22. I better get you for this one, Joseph. All right, now, do you want to be Abraham or Isaac? All right. I was hoping you'd say the other one, but let's go with it. So, Abraham was promised, he was given a promise by God that you would have a son. But Abraham is really old. You have to look really old. Older. That's better. All right, up you get. That's right. So our little old Abraham here, that he was going to have a son. But this was a bit of a joke to him and Sarah because he was so old and she was so old. It wasn't going to happen. But then it did. You were very, very old, and you had a son. Hey, it's me. And then something really strange happens. Something that Abraham can't really understand. Because God asked him to do something. Do you know what God asked Abraham to do?
Have a son.
Well, he promised he would, and then he did. And then here I am. But then he asked Abraham to do something with his son. Does anyone know, Annalise? He asked him to sacrifice his son. He said, I want you, Abraham, to get Isaac, your only begotten son. Those words are used. That's interesting, isn't it? He said, Jesus, the only begotten son of his father. And he said, I want you to go to a mountain and I want you to sacrifice him there. Whew. So Abraham didn't argue with God. He just obeyed. And so off we went. Let's go. As we're walking along, Isaac knows we're going to go and offer a sacrifice because Abraham said, we're going to go sacrifice to the Lord. So off we go. Then Isaac says, hey, Dad.
Hey, Dad.
No, I'm saying, hey, Dad. And you say, like, yes, wonderful son. Or something.
Yes, wonderful son.
I say, look, we've got the wood. We've got the wood. And we've got the fire. Maybe you had like a, you know, big stick with a flame on it. So off we go. We're going to make an offering. But hang on. We need like a lamb. We need a lamb. And so I said, but where's the lamb? Now, and he said, I'll get you to say this. He said, My son. God will provide a lamb.
God will provide a lamb.
God will provide a lamb. Amazing. It was like God asked Abraham to do what he would have to do hundreds of years later and see his son offered. So, all right, this is a bit we've all been waiting for. So, you've got to tie me up. Yeah. All right. And then you need to put me over here on the altar. All right. And then I'm thinking, whoa, what's going on? I think my dad's going to sacrifice me. So he gets a knife. Don't go through with this because it actually in the story you don't go through with it. All right, get a knife. And he's about to stab it into me. No, stop. Just raise your hand up. And just as that happens, an angel of the Lord says, stop, Abraham. Whew. Isaac at this time, he's probably fainted of fear. They look across and there's a ram with its horns stuck in a bush. God did provide a sacrifice. But you know what? Thanks, Joseph. You can sit down. When he said God will provide a lamb, I reckon that hundreds of years later, it's almost like John the Baptist continued where Abraham left off. Where's the lamb for the offering? And then John the Baptist looks at the River Jordan and sees Jesus and he says, behold, the lamb who takes away the sin of the world. He could have said, behold, a prophet of God. Behold, a mighty man. Behold, a healer. Behold, whatever, all these wonderful things you could have said about Jesus. But he didn't. I reckon God put into his heart the words to say, a lamb. Because lambs, as we remember, way back in Abel's day, was the sacrifice that was pleasing. Amazing. Yes, CJ. Well, I think that God knew that he knew what was going to happen. He knew that Abraham would never actually do it. It was like a test. And I reckon, yeah, I don't, do you know Abraham, I think it might say somewhere in the, Carol Jane's question is, does Abraham know that, did he know that there was this lamb that was stuck there? Did he tee up with God? Can you make sure there's a lamb stuck? I don't think so. And I reckon that Abraham believed that even if he had to go through with it, that God would perform a miracle and raise Isaac from the dead. Because he knew that Isaac was going to be the father of many, many, many nations. Yeah, so he knew, I reckon. A great question, Cara Jane. Wow, isn't that amazing? Let's go somewhere else in the Bible. Where are we going to go? Let me see. We're going to go to Exodus 12. And in Exodus 12, everyone was in Egypt. And this is when they were slaves. For over 400 years, they were a slave. That's a long time. That means if you were a slave, you'd probably die a slave and your kids would die a slave and their kids would die a slave. But God didn't plan for them to stay slaves. And God was going to save them and deliver them. Do you remember all the plagues in Egypt? You know about those plagues, the frogs and the flies and the water into blood and all this sort of stuff. The very last one, do you remember what happened with the last one? Cara Jane, what happened? The firstborn son in all the land would die unless they did one thing. Yeah, they had to get a lamb. It had to be perfect. It had to be spotless and without a defect. It couldn't be blind in one eye. The little lamb couldn't be like hobbling on like one gangly leg. It had to be perfect. Why, God, did you ask for it to be perfect? Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, was perfect. There's a reason for all this. It's a shadow of the cross. Okay? So, Phoebe, do you want to come and get a lamb? Let's get that little lamb over there. Yep. All right. And we need to kill the lamb. How are we going to do that? With a hammer? Whoa. All right, let's just pretend that the lamb is already dead. All right, now we have to get like a special branch. Pick up your branch and dip it in the blood and go to the doorpost and paint some of the blood on it up high as well. Up higher. Come on, up high. Go. And across here and down the side. Okay, good. And we then would eat a roast lamb, which would have been awesome. But they had to have it with their sandals on their feet and their staff in their hand because they knew that that night God was going to deliver them and they were going to be able to go free into what God promised them. And that's what happened. Because of a lamb, a perfect lamb, a lamb for every house. Thanks, Phoebe. That's awesome. If we go a chapter further, no, two chapters further to Exodus 14, that's when they came to the Red Sea. And they're like, we're free. And there's a big ocean in front of us. And there's an army behind us. And we don't have a boat big enough to take these thousands of people. Man, who's a good swimmer? Who's got their bronze medallion that can make sure we all go safely across? Who's brought their floaties? Oh, we don't have time. Oh, my goodness. So what happened was, Melody, do you want to be Moses? All right. So God said, this was the start of Moses dealing with all these whingy Israelites. Oh, you've brought us out here to die. So Moses had to do something that God asked him. He had to raise his staff. And what happened at that stage? Do you know? Yeah, all right, let's go try something here. All right, when Melody raises her hand, if you're on this half, I just want you to lean that way, and if you're that, I want you to lean this way. All right, let's see what it looks like from here. Oh, wow. Sorry to split the up there, Liz and Brian, but we're coming through. Thanks, Moses. So through they go on dry ground. How exciting that would have been. A wall of water on one side, the Bible says, and a wall of water on the other side. There's this great, great scene in the cartoon Prince of Egypt. I don't know if you've seen it. There's this bit where this lightning flashes and through one wall you can see this silhouette of this whale as it goes. Ooh, it was like, wow. Could you touch it? Yeah, is it like when you're driving a car and you wind your window down and you're going like this out the window? Could you just put your hand in and grab a fish out? Could you jump in for a bit and have a swim and then jump back out again? Could you go half and half? Like, that'd be weird. I was a long way. I don't know if they would have been brave enough to touch it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, put a hand in and then it made like a hole in the wall and the water's coming. I didn't do it. Like, keep walking. Oh, yeah, that would be weird. And so through they went. Now, they were saved from being slaves. They were in bondage. They were brought out of that horrible place and they were saved and were free. I don't know about you, but that's what this speaks of, yeah? That you don't have to be slaves of sin. Through the cross, there's freedom from it. But not just that. When that army came through after them, they're like, hey, we're going to go that way as well. What happened when they went through?
They drowned.
The water came and God's judgment on sin. God judged sin at the cross. That's what happened. No, they all got through. Maybe there wasn't. Maybe like the army was just about to get them and as the last person got out, who knows? I would have loved to have seen that though. Wouldn't you love to be there to see the deliverance of Israel from Egypt? Oh, amazing. All right. So off they went in the wilderness and in Exodus 15, I think it is, they came to some water. They were so thirsty by this time. They were really thirsty. Oh, well, their water had run out. They came to this place where there was these rivers of water. They're like, yes, we can drink. So they drink it. Ugh. But the waters were bitter. So bitter, in fact, that they couldn't drink it. They called it Mara. Mara is a Hebrew word that means bitter. And they're like, ugh. And so what do? They whinge to Moses. Ah, oh, you've brought us out here to die. Moses is like, oh, this is going to be a long time, long 40 years. Oh, God, what do I do? This water's too bitter. It's too horrible to taste. So God shows Moses a tree, and he gets the tree and he puts it in the water and the waters become sweet and you're able to drink it. And fresh. That's right, Phoebe. So sometimes our life, apart from God, there's the bitterness of shame, the bitterness of guilt. But because of a tree, a sweetness and a freshness can come into our life. Amazing. They're both made of wood. The Bible says, cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree, talking about the cross. He called the cross a tree, and here's this tree that's used. Amazing. Well, they kept walking after having a bit of the fill of drink. And then later on, in Exodus 17, not long after, the whinging starts again because they're thirsty again. There's still no water. And that other place where the tree was in the water is way back there. What are we going to do? Whew. So Moses went to God again. He said, what do I do? So there was a rock. Do you know what God asked Moses to do with that rock, Annalise? Yeah, to get his staff. And he had to strike it the first time it happened. He had to strike the rock. And so he did. Whack. Water comes out. Oh my goodness, how amazing is that? The rock, well, I don't know, who knows? Maybe it wasn't a big rock and maybe it was a miracle coming out of a little rock, who knows? So out comes the water, they all drink, Now, just think about that whacking motion. If you get whacked, you get beaten. I can think of someone who is also called the Rock, Jesus, who was beaten before he was crucified. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And that was the same Jesus that said, "Come and drink of me." Isn't that amazing? Is that rock just a shadow of Christ? Hebrews talks about a rock that followed them in the wilderness. And that rock was Christ. Amazing. Do you know when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus, he'd risen again, he died on the cross, he rose again, and he finds these two men, and they're so sad because Jesus died. And they didn't recognize it was Jesus. And he says, "Why are you so sad?" And they said, "Oh, are you a stranger to these parts? Don't you know all the things that have happened in Jerusalem? Jesus, we thought he was going to be the one to save us, and he died." And Jesus is like, "Oh, okay." So he started to talk to them about the Bible and opened up all the scriptures to them, all the Old Testament, talking about stuff about himself. Wow, I reckon he might have mentioned Abel's offering. I wonder if to the men on the road to Emmaus, he talked about the Red Sea. Maybe he talked about the lamb, the Passover lamb. Maybe he talked about that rock in the wilderness. Amazing. If we go into Leviticus, the third book of the Bible, do you know they had a tabernacle? They had to build a big tabernacle where God's presence was. And we've talked about, you've probably heard about this before. And they had an altar where they had to have sacrifice. There was a lamp, like a lampstand, and the Ark of the Covenant with the angels. You know that? Yeah? Yep. And they had to every day, morning and evening, in fact, they had to offer something. What do you think they had to offer? A lamb. Well, morning and evening. A constant reminder that the sacrifice that is pleasing to God is through the sacrifice of a lamb. A perfect lamb. That must have had lots of sheep. Like, they must have had heaps. One perfect lamb. It had to be a year old or something. Morning and evening. Amazing. Two sheep born every day to make sure that, yeah. And they probably would have eaten lamb as well, apart from the sacrifices. Yeah, amazing. All pointing towards the cross. How are we going for time? We're nearly there. Just about there. All right. Do you know, as they were going through the wilderness, the people really were a bunch of complaining people. And they didn't do everything right, and sometimes bad things happened to them, because they decide to do the wrong thing. There are consequences for when we make bad choices. Anyway, one time, these snakes come. Do you know this story about snakes? And start biting people. Yeah. You wouldn't have liked that, Mum, would you? You would have freaked out. Snakes. And people were dying. And they're like, "Oh, Moses, what do we do?" Moses is like, "I have no idea. I'll go to God again." That works, doesn't it, Tim, when you go to God? It worked last time, so let's go again. And so God says, "Well, I want you to get like a pole, and I want you to make a snake of bronze, made of bronze, out of like a type of metal, and then lift it up in the air. And then if anyone's been bitten by a snake, all they have to do is look at it. They look at it, and they're healed." Amazing. I'm just going to read something to you that Jesus said. You know that scripture, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only..." Do you know, like, just before he said that, in the breath beforehand, he mentions this snake on a pole that, with Moses. I don't know if you know that. John 3:16 is so, so famous. But what about what's just before? Let's have a listen to what he says to Nicodemus. He says this. Lum, lum, lum. He says this. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," if ever you hear an "as" in the Bible, there's a "so" coming. So you can say, well, as this, or so what? Well, "as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So just like they had to look upon that stick, that pole that Moses had, and they were healed. Oh, just as that happened, Jesus was lifted up from the earth on his own pole. And that wouldn't have been very nice, would it? He went through a lot for us. And that when we look upon Jesus, our lives are changed. We were going to die. We were going to spend eternity apart from him. But by looking at him and looking unto him and believing in him, we're saved. Did you have a question, Cara Jane? Yeah? Good question. Yeah, Cara Jane asked, why did Jesus have to have pain when he was on the cross? Why, if he could do anything, why couldn't it just... Maybe he could be on the cross and it just not hurt when they hammer those nails in. I believe that because God loved us so much, he needed to pay a price that was so huge. And do you know what? To show us that he loved us and what he'd go through for us. Do you know what? Even though it would really hurt to have nails in you, do you know I think there's something that hurt Jesus more? And it was the sin, our sin that he took upon himself. The Bible says he became sin for us. All of our sin, all your sin, all the people's sin before us and all after, all on Jesus. Wow, that must have been horrible. Because he was perfect and he'd never experienced that before. And do you know what's amazing? Is that at that time when Jesus was on the cross, the sun was darkened, was it not? The shadow of the cross was now no longer seen. And only the reality remained. Amazing. I'm going to pray. Dear God, we thank you for the cross. Lord, we thank you. Oh, thank you so much that Lord, right from the beginning of time, you knew what creating the earth and creating us was going to cost you. Just as that wise man who built a tower and worked out how much it would cost before he started, that's exactly what you did. Before you created us, Lord God, you knew it was going to cost you so much, and yet you went ahead with it because you love us. So, Lord, we just want to appreciate you and what you've done. We want to thank you, Lord, for those shadows in the Old Testament that point to you, and that we can just get a great appreciation of what you did for us by looking all throughout at that trail of breadcrumbs you led all the way to the cross. And we just want to thank you, God. Lord, we're sorry for going our own way. You've paid such a great price for us. Lord, help us to believe in you with our whole heart. And God, we just love you. We thank you for all that you've done. And may our lives be devoted to serving you and loving you and sharing you with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbolt Christian Fellowship.